As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
We're going to be in the book of Exodus here this morning. So if it's your first time, we do go through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We uphold the word of God. God himself says that he holds the word above his very name in Psalm 138. So the word of God is very, very important. And so that's what we do here at Calvary Castle Rock. So we're in Exodus 35. And for those of you who come here, you'll know how much this is a moving of God. But we are going to get through all of 35 here this morning. That's right. And so the goal is that I believe that we started in Exodus 2 years ago last February. So it'll almost be 3 years in Exodus. And but as we continue through the book of Exodus, there's a lot of things that are review, okay? And so chapter 35 all the way through 30, half of 39 is kind of a review of things that we've already gone through. So we're going to be able to go through that a little quicker. So it is my goal that next week, Lord willing, that we would go through chapter 36, 37, 38, 39. And then the following week, Lord willing, we'll go through chapter 40. And then at that point, quite possibly be done with Exodus. I always want to be open to the leading guide of the Holy Spirit to stop me in my tracks as I think I'm going to get this far. So we will always be open for that. And then I believe that what we're going to do after that is go through the Christmas story. And that is probably going to be a 6 to 8 weeks kind of a teaching that we'll go through. And so I kind of see by the beginning of the year, at that point, once we're done with that series, that we'll be in the book of John. Okay, and we'll go through the book of John. I don't like being out of a gospel very long, and we've been out of a gospel for a long time. It's been like 5 years, so 6 years maybe. Could be seven. I don't know. So we want to get back into a gospel, and I'm kind of excited about where God is leading all of this. So with that, here in Exodus 35, so we're here in chapter 35. Moses is about to tell the Israelites of the big build project. Kind of have a feeling of what that's like. And so, and what they're going to do. Up to this point, they don't know that they're going to build the tabernacle. They don't know that God is going to dwell in their midst through the tabernacle. They don't know about all the furnishings of the tabernacle that they're going to build. They don't know about the priesthood that Moses is going to introduce to them. This is all going to be new revelation for them, for the people of Israel. All they know at this point is that God has spoken through Moses, that he is, that they are his people, and that he's going to take them out of Egypt, out of the enslavement of Egypt, to go into the wilderness in order to worship and serve him. That's all they know. Some of you might be thinking, but Dave, we've gone over the tabernacle. We've gone over all the furnishing. We've gone over the priesthood. We've gone, yes, but remember that was God speaking to Moses. Moses hasn't had the chance yet to give that to Israel. Okay, because when he came down from the mountain that first time, 4 days and 40 nights, he came down to a very sinful situation, and that was them worshiping the golden calf. And then after that whole ordeal, and then going back to the Lord and renewing the covenant with the Lord once again, and then spending another 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, all the things that God spoke to him the first time, 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, in chapters 26 all the way through 31, he has not been able to express and be able to share with the people yet. And so he is going to do this here. But before he does this, he reminds them of the Sabbath day. So here we are in chapter 35, verse 1. We're not going to go over in a great deal on the Sabbath day because we did that with the fourth commandment. We went over that. It was actually a two-parter. I know, hard to believe. But I was able to make that, stretch that into two parts. So you can go back to our website, you can get the teaching on that, and when we go into great depth, and we're not going to do that this time, just going to hit on a few things. But here he starts here, before you're going to do this great project, You need to be rested up in the Lord. And so he says here in verse 1, then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. So these are God's words. These aren't Moses' words. He didn't make these up. He says, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death, and you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Now, this is new. We haven't come across this so far. We've come across the Sabbath day several times in the book of Exodus, but here, this is the first time it says you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Interesting. So the word work here in the Hebrew is melaka, and it means occupational work is what that word means. There's another word for work, abodah, and it means labor of any kind. Okay, but that's not the word that's used here. It's this other word, and it means occupational work. In other words, it seems that the work that you're supposed to cease from doing is the work that is going to bring you profit. This is your livelihood. Okay, that's the work that needs to be stopped here. Rather than depending on your own efforts, if I work more and more and more, I'll be able to have more and more, whatever your occupation is, you take a day of rest, trusting that God is going to provide enough for whatever you do for those 6 days will be good enough for the seventh day as well. And that's God's providence. That's his goodness for you, his faithfulness. And so they need to rest. And on that day of rest is supposed to be a time of reflection that we've spoken about before. A reflection of God's goodness, how he has brought you to this place, and how many good things that he has done on your behalf, and that he is the provider of our needs. And a time of worship, acknowledging that faithfulness. So a couple things to take note of here. One, you violate the Sabbath and work and you die. Next one is don't make a fire on the Sabbath day. So why a stiff penalty of death for the violation of the Sabbath? Because Jesus reminds us when he says, too much is given, much is required. Too much is given, much is required. And guess what? God has given Israel a lot. God chose them. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. You might even have a little heading above Deuteronomy 7. It says, a chosen people. We're not going to read the whole chapter, so I just want you to jump down here to verse 6. It says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be the people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth, because you guys are awesome and a beautiful or an amazing group of people. My Bible doesn't say that. Instead, it says, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. You were the weakest. When I came to you, you were in captivity. You were enslaved there under Egypt, and there was nothing you could do about it. He chose you because you're the least of all the people. Nothing to take pride in. And here's the thing. God has a way of shining through very, very weak vessels. You know, this is why when Paul was asking for this thorn in his flesh to be taken away, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. When you are weak, I am strong. People can see me in your weakness. I can shine brighter because you are such a weak vessel. It's kind of like if we had a weight set up here, we had the bench up here, and you put 500 pounds of weight on there, and I tell you, I said, the Lord has asked me to show you this, but he has told me that I'm going to be able to bench that 10 times. And so I go over there and I throw up 500 pounds. I do it 10 times. I don't break a sweat or anything like that. I said, that was God. You'd be able to say, yes, that was God. Because looking at me, you're kind of going, okay, you could probably do 300, 400 pounds. But 500, yeah, that's probably, the Lord's probably involved in that. So you see something very difficult to do, and a weak vessel is being called to do it. When it gets done, you can say, that was God. That was God. That's one of the reasons why we're told in Corinthians that when it comes to God's calling, he doesn't call the best and the brightest, okay? And the reason for that is because he needs those vessels to shine through. It's one of the reasons why it amazes me when a minister can get a big head and you go, what are you doing? How can you take ownership of that? What is freely given? Why do you take ownership like you earned it? You did not, okay? God chose to use you, and he can choose not to at any time once you become full of yourself and you think that it's all about you. It's not. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. And so by grace, you were chosen. For what reason? To be a light to the other nations. It's always been God's will to want to reach everyone. And he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, we're told in Ezekiel. And so we know this. He wants all to be saved. But again, he's choosing Israel to be that light and that witness for what? The other nations to come to know the one true God of Israel. We see that in Isaiah 42, verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. In Isaiah 49, 6, it says, indeed, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Israel was always supposed to be a blessing to the world, was always supposed to be a light and a witness, and have this amazing relationship with God that the world could see God's blessing upon them, so they'd want to come to know their God. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 12, I know you're already there, so if you just jump down to verse 12 here, it says, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and the new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock. In the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you, you shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of those terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. So when Israel goes into the promised land and starts to worship and serve the one true God faithfully, then God will bless their land, and God will bless them. They won't even have any sickness or disease, which tells me that there would be nobody begging in the land. You can't go anywhere today and not see someone begging in the land. And so the reason why I bring that up is because you need to understand the plan of the witness of Israel. Israel becomes their nation. They're going to have peace on their borders. But that also means that they're going to trade with other nations. So people in other nations are going to come through selling their wares. They're going to come through the land, and they're going to see the blessings of Israel. And so when they now done trading and it now time to go outside the land to another nation to trade there and do all that, guess what happens? People talk. And those traders from other nations coming into your nation all of a sudden will be talking to you and go, man, we just went through Israel. And let me tell you something, I've never seen a land so blessed in my life. Well, what do you mean? I never saw one person begging. What? Never saw anybody with any sickness or disease. I saw produce on all their trees. The land was green, flourishing. I've never seen so much blessing upon a people and the land. You're kidding me. No. And what do they attach that to? Blessings in your nation, blessings upon your land was always attributed to the God that you worshiped. And so whatever nation they would go and they would hear about that, they're going, well, that's not happening here. You know, that's not happening. And so we worship this God. They worship that God. I want to know more about that God so he could bless the land like he's doing there. It was to be a light. It was to be this amazing. And that never happened. It never happened. Because Israel collectively as a nation could not remain faithful. And they always fell to idols. Always worshiping other idols. And even though at times it looked like they're worshiping the one true God, there were still idols in the land. And people were still worshiping those idols. And so they were never able to really see that witness that they were called to be. That is why God has now called us in the new covenant. It is us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. It is by your blessed life, you worshiping the one true God through the person of Jesus Christ. Guess what? People see Jesus in you, see the joy of your salvation. They're going to want what you have. That's how he does it today. And so he tells them, here's a way to make sure you don't fall into idolatry. Remember the Sabbath day. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. And so the Sabbath day is a day of reflection. You're not going to fall into idolatry. You won't fall into the philosophies of the world if you're continually reflecting on the goodness of God. And with a gratitude of heart are thanking him for all the things he has done with you throughout the week and how he's provided for you. You take that day of rest in order to worship God and to thank him. And now you are focused on him throughout the week and on that special day when you're reflecting upon him. If you're doing that, you probably won't fall into idolatry. There's a lot for them to reflect on. There's a lot that God had done for them. The Lord had chosen them. Freed them from the bondage of Egypt by doing signs and wonders and the 10 plagues that he poured out onto Egypt in order to let Pharaoh to let them go. And then going there to the shores of the Red Sea and then seeing God open the Red Sea and them to walk across dry land. And once they got on the other side, Pharaoh's army comes in and he swallows them up. They are able to see all that. To be able to see the power and the greatness of God. They saw the bitter waters of Marah be made sweet for their drinking. They saw all this. They saw this amazing miracle every single morning when they woke up. Manna. Manna. Well, not every single morning. Not on the Sabbath. But God produced enough manna on the day before the Sabbath that they collect twice as much that it was good for them for the next day as well. But every morning, and all their complaining during this time, all this complaining that they're doing every morning, what has the Lord ever done for us? Picking up the manna everywhere, every morning. You go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then the day before the Sabbath, before that, God says, don't collect more than you need. But people did. And what happened? He said, it's not going to keep, it's going to stink, worms are going to devour it, and yet people got more than they needed, and the next day, you know, that's exactly what happened. But he said, you can only do that on the day before the Sabbath. Collect twice as much, and then that will actually keep until the Sabbath, and then you can eat it on that day. Thus, you don't have to prepare any meals or anything. You rest to the Lord. It's a resting time. And then they saw Moses strike the rock at Horeb and water came out and God helped them defeat the armies of Amalek the very first battle. And then they get to Mount Sinai and they hear the voice of God, the audible voice of God calling them into covenant relationship. They all agree to it. God gives them the Ten Commandments. They hear it all, this audible voice. God had given them so much. Because that much is required. And so that's something to reflect upon every Sabbath of how God has been the provider of their every need. And if you choose not to do that after all that God has done, then that shows your ungrateful heart. It shows that you're rebellious. And yes, you are deserving of death. The second thing we see here is no fire on the Sabbath day. You shall not kindle fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Why no fire? Well, I would submit to you, it means no cooking. And so, yes, even the women get the day off as well, because back then the women did most of the cooking. But not on the Sabbath. You can collect twice as much manna. You can cook and make it into cakes and everything else, and it will keep there for the next day. So you can eat, and you don't have to work for that. You don't have to work for that. And it shows that you trust in God, everybody taking that day off of rest, of reflecting on God's goodness. The word kindle in the Hebrew, barar, means to burn, to consume, to maintain a fire. Again, in the context of the word work, it would seem that the normalcy of having a fire for the purpose of cooking is what is meant here. And the reason why I personally believe that, as opposed to not having any fire no matter what, is because the Sabbath is meant to be a blessing, not a curse. Jesus himself said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. I want you to go over here to Mark chapter 2. Go over here to Mark chapter 2. This is also in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, I believe. But in Mark chapter 2, we have here, starting in verse 23, Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, says, "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, and the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' But he said to them, 'Have you never read what David said when he was in need?'" Notice it said that, in need. "And hungry, and he and those with him." Nowhere do we read about keeping the Sabbath to say you can't walk through a grain field, pluck off a couple of heads of grain. Those are traditions that come later on. There's all sorts of traditions that they adhered to, or they put on the Sabbath day. One of them is, if a wall falls on you and it's not life and death, you cannot remove the rubble, you know, on the Sabbath day. Had to be a life and death kind of a thing. And so here he's just talking about David and his men being hungry. Certainly they could wait another few hours until the Sabbath is over and eat then, but they're hungry. And it says, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave them to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" So David is hungry, he and his men. He goes in to Abiathar the priest. He says, "All I have here is showbread, but that's not for you. That's not for common folk. That's not for the king. It's not for his men. It's only for the priests." But because he's in need, guess what? That law is now null and void. Okay? Because need is greater than ritual. Okay? So, here it is, the Sabbath. They're hungry. They're walking through the fields. They're popping off the heads of grain, eating them. "Well, you can't do that on the Sabbath." Well, you actually can. It really isn't in the Sabbath law. You made it that way. But just so you know, Jesus makes it very clear here. He says the Sabbath was made for man. That means the Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing, not a curse. A blessing, not a curse. So he goes on to say in chapter 3, "And he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand." If he went into the synagogue there, this would be on the Sabbath. "So they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had withered hand, 'Step forward.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?'" I would submit to you that probably you should say it's probably good to do good on the Sabbath, to save on the Sabbath. But they kept silent. It's a pretty easy question to answer.
This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.